Hello and welcome to episode 20 of Lex Out Loud, world building for science fiction. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. I'm working on my third novel, my first science fiction novel, and I'm taking you along with me for the ride. In season one, I'm exploring world building in depth. Well, this is an exciting day for me, my friends. I am finally ready to start writing this first book in this new, what will probably be a series. This is an exciting and, yes, slightly terrifying time, but mostly exciting. Even terror is exciting in its way. So today I'm going to talk a bit about my approach and strategy for beginning the book. I've actually been getting a lot of great inspiration and help from one of the best writers of our time, Stephen King, and his book, On Writing. So I'll share some of these insights and how they've helped me decide how to approach this book. So just in case you're unaware of this book, On Writing is a book by Stephen King, and it's about, well, it's on writing. It's a combination of kind of a autobiography, bit of a story of his life, as well as his thoughts and philosophies when it comes to writing, and just kind of the tale of how he became a writer and how he got in the biz and all that good stuff. I highly recommend, if you're going to check this book out, which I highly recommend this book, it's a great book. Obviously, it's a great book for writers. It's the single best book on writing I've ever read. But I think it's also a great book for any kind of creative type. I think a lot, if not all, of what he talks about as far as writing directly would apply to any kind of other creative endeavor you might do. Especially if you're thinking about trying to make a career of said creative endeavor. But even if you're not a creative type or you're not wanting to make a career out of your creative thing, whatever it is, it's just a great book. It's just a great story told by one of the great storytellers of our time. Now, if you're going to check it out, I highly recommend that you check out the audio version because it's read by Stephen King himself. And you can get that through Audible. And I will have links in the show notes to this book so you can check it out if you haven't heard it. Also, if you have a library, there's a good chance you can get the book, even the audio book, from your library. So there's an app that I think a lot of libraries use. My library uses it. It's called Libby. You can get that on your smartphone or at least on Android. I assume it's on other smartphones. And that is an app that you can use to reserve books from your library. So you can use it to search to see if your library has a certain book that you want to read. And if so, to put a hold on it if it's checked out or if it's not, and then you can go get it. It's also great for ebooks because you can borrow the ebook from your library and have it delivered right to your Kindle or whatever you use, your e-reader. And then you can also use it for audiobooks. And then you can actually listen to the audiobook in the Libby app. So that's Libby. It's a fantastic app. And yeah, you may not have realized, but most likely you can get both ebooks and audiobooks from your library. So I'm sure if you can, that I'm sure they have this book. And if not, I'm sure they can get it for you. Or of course you can buy it. Also, you know, Audible has, I believe, like a 30-day trial. If you're not already subscribed to Audible, you can try it for 30 days. And usually as part of that, you get a free book. So you could get this as your free book. But again, I'll have links in the show notes to it. So you can go get it on Amazon in whatever form you want. And again, those are affiliate links. So you actually support me in the show just by clicking that link and then going and buying whatever you want to buy on Amazon. All right. So let's talk about writing. So I've been brainstorming some plot ideas lately. I think I've talked about this on the show. And I've come up with a few. And even better, some of those even fit together pretty well, which is always something I'm looking for is ideas that fit together into something greater than the sum of its parts. However, I haven't come up with something, with an idea that's really grabbed me to where I'm like, yes, this is what the story is going to be about. I've had some ideas I think are pretty cool, but nothing that's like excited me to that level that I've decided that's what I'm going to do. So like I said, I've been listening to On Writing. I got the Audible version from my library. This is actually the second time I've listened to it. I listened to it over a decade ago when I started writing my second novel, or before I started writing my second novel. And I just kind of decided to get it again and listen to it again on a lark. I've been working out a lot more since the pandemic started, which has gotten me back to listening podcasts again. And I'm pretty selective on the podcasts I listen to. So I've been having a hard time finding enough podcasts to have things to listen to during all my workouts, as well as when I'm doing housework and stuff, I tend to listen to them too. So I thought, I could get On Writing again and listen to that again. And I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I might glean some new nuggets of wisdom from it. And even if I don't, it'll be an enjoyable experience to listen to it again, as opposed to trying to find another decent podcast to listen to. So that's what I did. And lo and behold, I'm loving it. I think I'm enjoying it even more the second time than I did the first time. And not only has it been very entertaining and moving, but it's also been very helpful. And I've been getting a lot of good advice from it. So I'm really glad that I listened to it again. It was really something I needed right now to get some good advice from the master, or one of the masters. So Stephen King is very much a discovery writer, and this becomes very apparent as you listen to or read this book. He doesn't come up with plots or do, quote, plotting. Instead, he starts with a situation that's interesting to him, and then he creates characters for the situation, and then he follows the story and the characters wherever it takes him. And it's all based on how the characters react to that situation, and what the consequences are to what the characters do, and then just rinse and repeat. So I think I've talked on the show before about the difference between a discovery writer and an outline-based writer. I think I've talked about that, but just in case I haven't, or just for anyone who's new to the show, who maybe hasn't caught up on all the older episodes yet. So there's this idea that there's kind of two different types of writers, and really it's more of a spectrum. And these are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. So on one end of the spectrum, you have the outliner. So this is someone who sits down and plans the book or the story ahead of time, and they make an outline. You know, beginning, middle, end, act one, act two, act three. And they outline the major plot points and how the story is going to end. And oftentimes, eventually the outline goes down to a chapter by chapter basis, you know, what's going to happen in each chapter. And all this is done, and then they start writing. And the outline is their roadmap that they follow as they read the book. So that's the outliner. That's one side of the spectrum. Opposite side of the spectrum is a discovery writer. This writer doesn't do any of that. This writer just sits down and starts writing. And like I said, it's a spectrum. So, you know, most writers probably aren't at one extreme end or the other, to where they're only an outliner or they're only a discovery writer. You know, a lot of writers are probably somewhere in between. But like I said, Stephen King is very much a discovery writer. And I think he is at the extreme. Listening to him talk about writing in On Writing, I don't see any evidence that he's an outliner at all. He seems to be purely a discovery writer. Now, it's not necessarily a thing of one is better than the other. It's more a thing of what works for a particular writer. You know, some writers, outlines just work for them, and that's how their brains work, and that's what works for them. You know, others, discovery writing is what works for them, and then others are somewhere in between or use some kind of combination. I know, for instance, Brandon Sanderson has said that he's largely an outliner when it comes to the plot of the story, but he tends to discovery write a bit his characters. So he kind of lets his characters be free to grow or change as they will. And he kind of just follows that where he takes him. But he does have an outline as far as the overall plot of the story that he goes by. Although, you know, he may revise that as things go along, especially as the characters grow and change. So he's someone that's somewhere in the middle, but definitely seems to be much more on the outlining side of the spectrum than the discovery writing side of it. So I've always assumed that I myself was an outliner or would be an outliner. Just, you know, whenever I've heard writers talk about the two different styles, and just to me, it's always sound like the outliner is what I am or what would work for me or what seems to make more sense to me. And I've just kind of always had that assumption. Or maybe that I'd be some kind of a blend of discovery writer outliner, but that I would lean more heavily towards outlining. When I wrote Dawn of Endless Night, which was the last novel I wrote, my second novel, that was the case. I was very much an outliner. I had an extensive outline that told me what happened in each chapter, and it even broke each chapter down into its scenes that made it up. I knew how the story was going to go from the beginning, and I knew what the ending would be long before I got to the end of the book. So all that said, coming now to my current project, I feel like I've started to lose a little bit of momentum here with this project. I'm really happy with where I'm at as far as the world building. The setting is really coming alive for me now, which is not to say that I know everything about it, but I know enough that I have this intuitive grasp of the setting where if I don't have an answer to a question, I can come up with one pretty quickly. And I feel like I have enough to get started. So now I feel like it's time to start writing. It's time to start writing the book. But I've been spinning my wheels a little bit because I still don't know what story I want to tell exactly. I mean, I know the setting quite well, the location and the time period. And I have some pretty solid ideas on my main character, but I've been struggling with the plot. What's the plot of the story going to be? So yesterday I'm listening to On Writing while I'm doing my workout, and Stephen King is talking about his process, and he starts going on about how he does not plot. When he writes a book, he never comes out up with a plot for it. He never knows how it's going to end. When he starts writing it, he's a discovery writer. And he has some opinions about people who do plot, and he feels that plotting is an inferior form of writing because he says that often books that are plotted feel unnatural, feel forced, feel mechanical. You know, they feel like they were constructed. They don't feel like a story that grows organically. They feel plotted. They feel, you know, put together. Yeah, he says it a lot better than I do. So definitely listen to the book or read it. So he doesn't plot, and he doesn't think well of people who do plot. Or I think a better way to say it would be he doesn't think well of many books that are obviously plotted and not done so in a great way, I guess, would be a way to say it. So what he does is he starts with a situation and with characters, and then he goes from there. I talked about this a little bit last week, and he described, you know, how this works in the book. So as he's talking about this, about how, you know, he comes up with this interesting situation, and he gets to know the people that are in the situation, and then from there, it's just being true to those characters and being honest about those characters and saying, you know, what is this character feeling in this situation? How is this character going to react? How's that character going to react? And what happens next? That's discovery writing. So as I said, I've always assumed I would be an outliner. Always before, when I've heard about people talk about outliners versus discovery writers, which, by the way, this is not something Stephen King talks about. At least I don't believe he does, not in this book. He doesn't really talk about outlining because that's not what he does. But I've heard other writers like Brandon Sanderson on Writing Excuses, for instance, talk about the difference between outliners and discovery writers and kind of how each works. And anytime I've heard someone talk about that, I've always been like, I'm an outliner. I'm totally an outliner. But for the first time yesterday, I'm listening to Stephen King talk about how he does this. And as he's describing this, it suddenly struck me how familiar this seemed. And it was familiar because it's very, very similar. In fact, it's pretty much exactly the same as to how I approach running a role-playing game like D&D. And I've done loads, hundreds and hundreds of podcast episodes about being a GM, running a role-playing game. My podcast, GM Intrusions, and my later, more recent podcast, Game Master's Journey, was all about that. So it was just one of those moments where suddenly something is so obvious to you, you wonder how you never saw it before. And I'm like, oh my God, discovery writing sounds exactly like running a role-playing game, or at least how I run a role-playing game. So maybe I shouldn't be so quick to discount it. Maybe I shouldn't be so quick to assume that I'm an outliner. Maybe I'm more of a discovery writer than I realize, or maybe I have that potential. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I am an outliner, but maybe I could learn to be a discovery writer, and maybe I'd be a much better discovery writer than I would be an outliner. At the very least, it seems a way, and maybe a good way, to get past this kind of impasse that I'm at right now with this project. So I suddenly had this thought. Maybe I should try discovery writing. I've just always assumed that it wouldn't work for me. But like I said, it sure sounds a lot like GMing a D&D campaign, which I've done tons of. So maybe it would work for me. Maybe I'd be a lot better at it than I think I would be. But at the very least, like I said, it would get me writing. So I decided a few weeks ago that if too much time went by before I started actually writing this story, that I'd resort to a method that I came up with. I'm not claiming to be the first person to have ever thought of this, but I came up with this for myself, that I've been calling brute force writing, kind of in the spirit of a brute force hack to break someone's password. Brute force writing. So this is simply just sitting down to write and writing. I mean, that's pretty much it. But writing no matter what. Just sitting down and saying, I'm going to write for the next so many minutes, or I'm going to write so many words. And then you do it no matter what. You write what comes no matter what. Even if it sucks, even if it sucks really bad, you still do it. You just do it. And yeah, it probably will suck. At least the first time or the first few times. At least for me, I'm sure it will suck. But the idea here is one of momentum. You know, a body at rest stays at rest unless acted on by a force. A body in motion stays in motion unless acted on by a force. So similarly, a writer at rest will tend to stay at rest. A writer who's not writing will tend to continue not to write, while a writer who is writing will tend to keep writing. So just by writing stories in my setting, even if they're horrible, even if they're pointless, even if they go nowhere, even if they make no sense, they'll get the gears turning in my brain, right? They'll get my brain used to writing in the setting, get it thinking in that deeper way about the setting, in that way that only happens when you start actually writing in it. You know, I saw this in my last book a lot, where, you know, my last story was set in Chicago. And for instance, I remember a particular scene I had take place in the waiting area of an office building. And when I sat down to write that scene, I thought I had everything I needed. But as I started writing it, I suddenly realized, and very quickly realized, that I didn't have everything I needed. There's all kinds of things about this place that I didn't know that I needed to know. When I went to describe the lobby, I realized I had no idea what the lobby looked like. When I went to describe the rest of the building, you know, what's the elevator look like? What do the hallways look like? I had no idea. So I had to stop and come up with that stuff. So that kind of thing happens all the time. So for instance, my setting now, I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on it. And I'm sitting here telling you, I think I'm ready to start writing, but I'm not saying it's done. I'm not saying the setting is complete. I'm not saying the world building is done because I know better. I know it's not. And I know as I start writing things, I'm going to come up with things or come up against things all the time that I suddenly realize I don't know something I need to know to go forward. So sometimes I might stick a pin in what I'm writing and I might go figure that thing out or go find that thing out. Or probably more often, I'll just put a note in brackets. Hey, I need more information about XYZ here. Add that in the revision process. Because a lot of times it's better just to keep going and keep that momentum going. Especially if you're talking about setting stuff, you can fill those details in later. You know, add description here kind of stuff. So, you know, you'll find the same thing, I'm sure. I'm sure everybody goes through this where, you know, you discover aspects of the setting you just don't know well enough and you need to flesh out that you would never realize that until you're actually writing and you get to the point where you're like, oh, I need to know, I don't know what this coffee shop looks like, or I need to know what's next door to the library or whatever, or what's across the street. I need to know this suddenly, and you don't, and you need to come up with it. So that kind of thing happens all the time. But yeah, brute force writing. That's what I'm going to have to do if I have to. I'll just sit down and start writing something, anything. Doesn't matter. Even if I write thousands and thousands of words that I never end up using, that I throw away, it's not a waste of time or effort if it gets me into this mental place I need to be in to really write the thing. If it brings me to a good idea of what to make the story about. So this seems to dovetail really nicely with what Stephen King is talking about in On Writing as his process. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to marry both of these ideas together and then use this as a springboard to get started. So I'll do some brute force writing just to get the ball rolling. So here's my game plan. Here's what I'm thinking. So I'm going to start by brainstorming some situations to put the characters in. So Stephen King says he starts with a situation. So I'll brainstorm some ideas. I'll try to come up with my own. And if that doesn't give me a good enough list, I'm sure I can just Google writing prompts or something like that. And I'm sure I can find loads of lists of just situations online for my brainstorm. And then I'll pick one that I like the best and just start writing it and see where it takes me. You know, Stephen King actually gave a writing exercise in On Writing for this. And I considered just using that, but it just wasn't really speaking to me. I wasn't really getting ideas from it. It wasn't really inspiring me or interesting to me. But I think the idea is solid. So I'm just going to find a different situation. And yeah, maybe it'll be a situation specific to, you know, something that could only happen on one of these cylinder cities, or maybe it'll be a situation that could happen in any city. I mean, for when I'm seriously thinking what I'm going to have the book be about, I mean, I think it's best to have it involve the fact that this is on a rotating habitat at some level. I mean, that should be relevant on some level other than why, if not, why do it there, right? Like if my story could easily just be told on in any city in the current day, then why go to all the effort of world building this new setting and telling it there? Why not just tell it in current day New York City or current day Seattle or whatever? Right. So it behooves me, I think, to make that relevant to the story somehow, that it is taking place in space and not on Earth. So, you know, this brute force writing, I'm not so much worried about that because this is just to get the ball moving. I'm not even planning for this to be something that's going to be in the final book. But once that ball is moving and once I start getting ideas and have a direction for the book, or I know what my situation is for the book, then at that point, I will want that to in some way have it be relevant or important that it's taking place on one of these cylinders. So Yeah, some way that impacts the story in a meaningful way. That will be important. But for right now, I'm not worried about that. So yeah, I start by brainstorming some situations. Find a situation I like, and that's where I'll start. And then I just start writing it, see where it takes me. Also, you know, I'll come up with a character or two. So that's kind of the game plan. That's kind of the gist. But Stephen King also had some other tips or recommendations that I thought were really great. And I'm going to take to heart to at least start out. And then, you know, I may make some adjustments. So the first one is write every day. Now, you know, every writer's different. Everybody kind of has their own process. But at least for Stephen King, and again, he's a discovery writer, so I'm sure that has something to do with it. But for him, he says that he finds that if he doesn't write every single day, he starts to, you know, if he takes a day off, he starts to lose the thread a little bit. It starts to be less real or less alive in his mind and more like a story. And yeah, so he feels like it really holds him back to take even a single day off. So once he starts actually writing a book, he writes every single day until it's finished, including Christmas, including the 4th of July, including his birthday, every single day. So if I end up being a full-on discovery writer, then I may take that advice to the letter. But for now, when I say write every day, I really mean Monday through Friday. Although maybe I might do a weekend day too, because I feel like maybe taking 2 days off in a row might be too much. So I might, maybe I'll do 6 days a week instead of five, but we'll see. Also, and I think this is even more important, start writing at the same time every day. Now, I talked a little bit last week about the book Atomic Habits. I've got that linked in the show notes for episode 19 if you want to check that book out. But yeah, that's exactly what that book recommends is, you know, if you're wanting to start a new good habit, you need to do it the same time every day and also as part of a sequence. So not only do you want to start writing at the same, and Stephen King doesn't go into this, but not only do you want to start writing at the same time every day, but you want to have a routine that leads up to it. So, you know, last week I was talking about, you know, maybe if I'm going to start writing first thing in the morning, maybe my routine is, you know, I get up, I get dressed, I make the bed, I put in my eye drops, I go have breakfast, I make a cup of coffee, I go upstairs, fire up the computer, start writing, right? So I follow that routine every day. So not only am I starting writing at the same time every day, but I'm doing the same routine every day. So as soon as I start, you know, as soon as I start making the bed, my brain knows, okay, next I'm going to go take my eye drops and then I'm going to go have breakfast and then I'm going to make coffee and then I'm going to write. And then when I'm taking my eye drops, my brain knows, okay, next I'm going to go eat and then I'm going to make coffee and then I'm going to write. And then while I'm eating, you see how this goes, right? So my brain knows what's coming well ahead of time. And you know, if you do this every day, it becomes a habit. And then without any effort on your part, you'll just go through the motions because it's a habit. And you'll find yourself at 9 a.m. sitting in front of your computer, ready to write, you know, your belly full of breakfast, your hot coffee cup in your hand. And your brain is ready to write because it knows it's now time to write. Just like, you know, they recommend going to bed about the same time every night because your body gets used to it and it starts to wind down preparing to go to bed if it knows, you know, that you always go to bed at 11 p.m. or whatever it is. So write every day. Start writing at the same time every day. Make it part of a routine. And then number three is to set a daily word count goal and write until you hit that word count. Now, again, different writers do different things. Some writers set a time goal, like I'm going to write 4 hours or whatever. But I think the word count is good for me, at least, because at the end of the day, that's what matters. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many hours I spent writing. What matters is how many words I wrote. So, you know, if I spend 8 hours writing, but I only write 50 words, so what? Right? Versus if I spend 2 hours writing, but I write 1,000 words, that's right, a lot better, right? So what Stephen King does is he writes 2,000 words a day, and he starts writing the same time every morning, and he stops when he gets his 2,000 words. So some days, maybe he gets that 2,000 words in a couple hours. Other days, maybe it takes all day, but he's writing until he hits his target, which is 2,000 words. Now, like with all things, like for instance, exercising, it's better to set smaller goals in the beginning that you can achieve to build a habit of success and to then increase those goals than it is to set too ambitious of a goal and fail and then demoralize yourself. So he suggests starting with 1,000 words, which is what I'm going to do. Even though I think I can do 2,000 a day, I'm going to let myself start at 1,000 just so that I don't have the risk of not being able to hit that for the first couple weeks or whatever. And then I'll bump it up. Once I'm hitting 1,000 every day for a few weeks consistently, then I'll bump it up to 2,000. And then the next thing is, you know, once I hit my word count, spend the rest of the workday doing any world building or research or anything that I need to do to set me up for the next day so that that next morning I can just hit the ground running and hit the keyboard writing. I don't have to sit there and think about stuff. I know what I'm going to do. So get set up for the next day. And then any other time I have left over, spend it reading. Because reading a lot is very important as a writer. Stephen King recommends spending 4 to 6 hours every day reading and writing, a combination of the two. So, yeah. So that's kind of my game plan. Write every day. Start writing at the same time every day. Make it part of my morning routine. And this is the one big thing that may change. Because I have this feeling that I might be a night writer. I just realized what I just said. Yeah, I'm a night writer. I love it. Awesome. So yes, I suspect I might be a night writer. Writing first thing in the day may just not work for me. I'm definitely more of a night owl, and I definitely it seems to me that I have much more creativity at night than I do in the day. But I want to start it this way because it seems like the best way to be consistent in the beginning is to start the day writing. You know, I'm much more likely to do it every day if it's the first thing I do than if I put it off until later, if that makes sense. Because if my writing day starts at 10 p.m., there are a million things that could happen between the time I wake up and 10 p.m. to distract me or derail me or get in the way of that writing happening. But if it's literally the first thing I do every day, then it's more likely that I'll do it every day. Now, once, you know, I have, you know, kind of my routine set up, if I then feel that it's really difficult writing in the morning, and I feel like a big part of that is because I am writing in the morning and that I would be more successful writing at night, then maybe I'll try writing at night. What I'm thinking I may do, if that is the case, and if I can hack it, I think what I may try to do is instead of trying to write at night instead, I will try to write at night also. I believe this is what Brandon does, or at least did. I heard him speak about his kind of daily routine, Brandon Sanderson. Of course, it may have changed since. I don't know how old that I think it was a video was. But I think that's kind of what he does is, well, he gets up at like noon. He's very much a night owl. And he says, you know, I didn't become a writer so I could get up early every day. You know, part of the benefit of being a writer is he gets to set his own hours, which is true. And I'm tempted to go that route myself because I am much more of a night owl. However, right now my wife's job, she wakes up early in the morning. And I want to have my schedule match her schedule. Cause you know, if I'm waking up much later than her and then staying up much later than her, then it seems to decrease the amount of time that we're up at the same time. And also, decreases the amount of time that we're in bed together, which is kind of my favorite part of the day. So, I'd rather be on the same schedule if possible. I mean, if it's what I got to do what I need to do, then I will. But anyway, I believe what Brandon said he does is he gets up at like noon and he writes for like 4 hours in the early afternoon. And then he stops and he has his family time and whatnot in like the afternoon. I think he writes from like 1 to 5, like he gets up at noon and has breakfast and all that stuff. And then he writes from 1 to 5 and then he has family time from 5 to 10. And then he writes, I think from like 10 PM till 2 AM. And then he'll like play video games or something until like 4 and then go to bed and sleep till noon. So that's kind of his schedule. But the key thing there is he writes in 2 4-hour blocks that are split up. And I think that if I'm going to be writing more than like actually banging on the keyboard more than 4 hours a day, then that would be the way to do it. I think trying to bang on the keyboard for 8 hours solid is not a good idea. It's not good for your body to be sitting at the keyboard that long. It probably would be better to have a break to kind of rejuvenate mentally and creatively and whatnot. So if I find writing in the morning rough, probably what I'll do is try to have 2 writing sessions, 1 in the morning and 1 in the evening. So then I can compare. And if it does seem like, you know, I'm doing a lot better in the evening, maybe in the morning I can do other things. Like that's when I can do my world building or planning for what I'm going to write in the evening or something. I don't know. I'll figure that out. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it if I need to. So anyway, I'm going to write every day. I'm going to start writing at the same time every day, make it part of a routine. I'm going to set a daily word count goal starting at 1,000 words and then going to 2,000. And I will write until I meet that goal. And then spend the rest of the workday reading or doing whatever else I need to do to prepare for the next day's writing. And then, yeah, that's it. That's the plan. So wish me luck. And I'm recording this on Friday. So I am going to take, probably most of today will be spent producing this podcast. But this weekend, I am going to do everything I need to do to set me up for Monday to get started Monday. So I'm going to brainstorm and research scenarios and find a scenario I like. So maybe I can even be thinking about it a little bit beforehand Monday. Maybe figure out how many characters I need and sketch those out. So I'll do that kind of stuff over the weekend. So Monday I can hit the ground running or hit the ground writing, I guess. So now I'll talk a little bit about what I'm thinking for the near future of this show. So something else King said in his book that really aligned with some things I've been thinking lately. And this actually came to him from the editor of a newspaper he worked for when he was young. And that's write with the door closed, rewrite with the door open. So the idea behind this is along the lines of when you write your first draft, you're writing the story for you, but when you revise it, you're writing it for the reader, for the world, for everyone else. And once you put the story out into the world, it's no longer yours. It's the reader's. So as I said, this kind of aligns with some things I've been thinking, especially as far as my writing and how it pertains to the show and what I want to do with this show in the near future. It's become pretty clear to me lately that once I start writing the story, I'm probably not going to want to talk about it very much, at least not in any detail, until the first draft is done. As King said, the first draft is mine, and I want to make sure that it is mine. I don't want to be influenced by other people and their ideas and their opinions. Also, at least for me, the beginning part of the creative process is a fairly vulnerable and precarious time. It's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get discouraged before you build up that momentum that'll keep you going no matter what. So, you know, for instance, I might have an idea for my book, for something that's going to happen or whatever, and be super excited about this and so excited. And I just think it's awesome. It's going to be so awesome. And I tell someone about it and they're like, oh, that's cool. And their lack of enthusiasm just like takes all the wind out of my sails. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's not such a great idea. Maybe it sucks. So at this point in the process, that's the last kind of thing you need. And save that for revising. So to be honest, I'm not sure exactly what this show will look like in the next few months as I start actually writing the book. I suppose it's possible I just won't put out any episodes at all. And I'll just go dark for a few months until the first draft is done. And if that's what I have to do, I will. But I don't think that's probably going to happen. I think I'll be able to find things to talk about on the show in the meantime that don't breach the privacy I want to keep around the first draft. If nothing else, I can continue to talk about world building and new setting elements as I come up with them. I can also give updates on my progress and my experiences writing it in a more general sense without getting into specifics about what I'm actually writing. Of course, once I start writing the book, which I'm planning to do in earnest this next Monday, that will be the number one priority. I'm not even going to think about producing an episode of this podcast until that day's writing is done. This may mean the show doesn't come out every week. I don't know. Might be every other week. I don't know. So worst case scenario, there may be a hiatus of a few months as I crank out the first draft. But I think it's more likely that I'll be putting out episodes here and there as topics present themselves to me. Regardless, however it goes, once that first draft is done, and I then start editing and revising, at that point, I will have loads and loads to talk about on the show. And at that point, if not before, the show will probably go back to fairly regular weekly episodes. And the other thing is that I also don't want to go into too much detail about what I'm actually writing because, you know, I hope that people who listen to this will, when the book is ready and it comes out, will buy it and read it. And so I don't want to spoil it for you. I want you to be able to read it and enjoy it when I finish it in its final form. So yeah, we'll probably still be talking about some world building stuff. I can share things I come up with for the setting, things that change, things like that. I'm sure I can share any insights I have as I do this as far as the writing process, you know, things I work, things that I find that work for me, I can share with you. And by all means, if you have questions or ideas of maybe things I could talk about during this time, feel free to let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And yeah, I'm very open to any ideas people have for episode topics. And among them, I at the end of last week's episode, I talked a bit about the idea of maybe doing some live shows that could have more of a interactive or even question and answer kind of element to them. So check out last episode for more about that. And please let me know if you're interested in that, and if there's enough interest, we'll try to make it happen. So yeah, if you have any ideas of things you'd like to hear about, let me know. And yeah, if you're working on something yourself, let me know. I'd love to hear what you all are working on. You can email me at lexoutloudpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Lex Starwalker, and you can call my voicemail 951-465-5391. And finally, please join our community on Discord. You can find a link to our Discord server in the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com/LOL. And yeah, join us in Discord. Everyone's welcome there. And yeah, I hope to see you in there. So that's going to wrap it up for me for this week for Lex Out Loud, world building for science fiction. I hope that you enjoyed the episode. I hope you go check out Stephen King's book On Writing. Again, I'll have links to that in the show notes so you can get a hold of that. Or if you're tight on, I mean, I definitely recommend if you can to buy the book and support Stephen King. But if you're tight on cash right now, as I know a lot of people are right now, check your library and check that Libby app and see if you can get maybe even the audio version, which would be awesome, or if not, get the ebook version or the physical copy from your library and check it out. It's really great, really great stuff. So wish me luck as I continue my journey and this adventure. And maybe in the Discord, I'll give some status updates here and there as far as how I'm doing. And for sure, I'll let you know how things are going next time I speak to you on here. So I hope everyone is healthy and safe, and I hope everyone's getting vaccinated. I've gotten my first shot and am eagerly awaiting the second one and looking forward to being fully vaccinated and having a return to some degree of normalcy. Will be very nice. So yes, please get vaccinated. Please make sure everyone you care about around you and even people you don't care about are getting vaccinated. We've all got to do it. That's the only way we're ever going to be able to have a normal life again is if everybody gets vaccinated. So yeah, let's do it. And you know, if you are someone who can't, my heart goes out to you and hopefully you will be able to soon. I know here in the US, we're starting to deal with an oversupply, it sounds like. So hopefully we'll be getting those to people who need them in other countries. But yeah. We'll get through this, but we've all got to do our part. So yeah, hope to see you again and talk to you again soon. And in the meantime, keep writing.